Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
Crazy enough, the more things change, sometimes the more they stay the same. We are 3 years removed from the NBA Finals in the bubble in Orlando, or 2.5 years removed, I should say. And yet somehow, whether we expected it or not, probably not, considering the seedings of two of the four remaining NBA teams, it's the same exact Final Four, the same conference finals that we had in the bubble in Orlando to cap the 2020 season. There is something to be said for experience. There is something to be said for superstar players, of course. But there's something to be said for a core group with each of these teams that has a winning mentality, but also mental toughness to recognize what's required, what's necessary this time of the year to survive and to advance. And then there were four in the NBA, still five in the NHL, though we have ourselves a game seven on the ice coming up Monday. Actually, back-to-back weekends in which we've had some great closeout drama in the playoffs, but also game sevens set for the Sundays. Mondays. Oh, see, it's already happening. It's hard to keep track of days. Dates, forget it. Those are a fleeting thought, a figment of my imagination. Mostly, I know this for sure. Monday caps what has been an incredibly busy weekend, but also a weekend of joy and pomp and circumstance for many families around the United States. Why? Well, because big time college graduation weekend and also Mother's Day weekend. So a lot of people, a lot of Americans on the move, a lot of Americans on the roads in our various cities. I hope that those of you who are moms or those of you who have your moms, that you enjoyed some time with them or at least talking to them on Sunday. I was only able to talk to my mom, and actually you guys aren't going to believe what happened to my mom on Mother's Day. We'll get to that coming up. I call her up after church to tell her Happy Mother's Day, and she's in a bit of a panic. Quite a story. But I do appreciate my mom. I sent her a text message. This is after I'd spoken to her, but just a few hours ago, sent her a text message that said, thank you for being the most dedicated, generous, concerned, caring, involved, smart, and funniest mom ever. And her response, crying so hard she's laughing emoji, probably more involved than you would like. I didn't say it. But that is classic Italian mama, all up in my grill, always concerned, always telling me what to do. Still at her age and my age, always telling me what to do. But I saw between her and her mom, my maternal grandmother, and so it feels as though it's a rite of passage. So happy Mother's Day to my mom, to Mary Lou. Happy Mother's Day to those of you who are moms or to those of you who are mother figures to whether it's kids, whether it's young adults, whether it's old adults. I was telling my fourth and fifth graders on Sunday morning in church that Mother's Day, while it is full of joy, and for most of them, it's joyful and it's simple and there's an innocence about it. Mother's Day can also be really challenging for a lot of people. I have two really good friends who've lost their moms in the last 6 months, and I know this is a painful day for them. It's my family's first Mother's Day without Grammy Helen, and so I was thinking of my aunts and my uncles on Sunday. And then you consider the number of moms who've lost their children, who've outlived their children, not only because of various tragedies in our country, sometimes accidents, but I was thinking of our military servicemen and women who, whether it's internationally or domestically, give their lives in service to our nation, and their moms had to make that sacrifice. And there's also a lot of people that would like to be moms and aren't in that space yet, or have tried to be moms and it's not worked out. And there's a lot of emotion, a lot of pain, some heartbreak and grief on a day like today, but there's also a lot of joy. I made my fourth and fifth graders go around the room. They didn't have a choice. They could volunteer and get it out of the way right away, or they could wait until I called on them. But every single one of them had to tell me their favorite thing about their moms. So about 40 fourth and fifth graders over the course of two services. And a couple of the boys, they struggle with it. The best they could come up with was, "She feeds me pizza." That was one boy named Carmine. No doubt that's right up Carmine's alley. And there were others who were a little less open. They were reticent to share, but we give them a safe space. And then when everyone else does it, they'll do it too. There were a few that were so, so genuine and sweet. My mom always supports me. My mom always takes care of me. She always encourages me. I can tell my mom anything. Couple of the young men who volunteer, so high schoolers who volunteer in class with me, said, "My mom is spontaneous. Sometimes with an hour to go before a sporting event, she'll say, 'Hey, do you want to go see this game?' My mom always brings me my uniforms when I forget them." Always shows up for all my events. There were some really neat responses as well that made me happy. And so then once we had gone all the way around the room, I said to them, "Now, go tell your moms. Tell your moms the best thing about them in your eyes, because that will be the perfect gift." I actually had one little girl who completely forgot it was Mother's Day, but don't worry, we actually planted little succulents for them. We had a church member donate, they're called chicks and hens, but they're little succulents, and they came out of her garden. And so she donated about 60 of them. And we were able to let the kiddos dig in the dirt and fill little pots with them so that they could take them out of the gym and give them to their moms. So funny, in the second service, one little girl, so we had a roller hockey game going on at the gym too. So in order to get from where the tables and the art area was, you had to go through the hockey game to get outside, to get to the door where moms and dads were picking up. So one little girl, I did get whacked with a stick and a ball more than once trying to cross. So this one little girl, she's all excited. She sees her mom. She's running with her succulent. One of the hockey players smashes into her, like does a spin move or something, smashes into her. Her dirt and her succulent go flying. Poor little girl.
Oh, no.
I know. Well, the good thing about the succulents is they had tails, like root tails on them. And so all you really had to do is pick it up and put it back in the dirt. For those of you who don't know, it's really difficult to kill a succulent. The only thing you really can do is overwater it. Otherwise, they keep growing. And then there was one little boy who called them cactuses. And I was like, no, cacti. It's a good word. Good word. So again, happy Mother's Day from me to you. I actually took a photo of my lavender plants that are blooming and put them up on Twitter. And I'll put them up on Facebook too, where Jay will help me, just as a happy Mother's Day, because flowers make me happy and they're beautiful purple. this time of the year. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, as you know the routine. But if you're new and you're stuck in your car trying to get back from your graduation or Memorial Day weekend, we are happy to keep you company. So yes, on Twitter, on Facebook, and our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. A game 7 in Boston on Sunday afternoon. It only took 2 weeks for Steph Curry's Game 7 scoring record to fall by the wayside. That's it. Just 2 weeks. You remember he had 50 against the Sacramento Kings in Game 7 on the road, going back to the opening round. Gosh, it feels like forever ago. It was really just one round ago. Thanks, NBA. And that record stood for all of 2 weeks. Now, if I remember correctly, sometimes it's not good for me to try to remember on the fly, but the previous record was 48, set by Kevin Durant in 21. So that one only stood for 2 years. This one only stood for 2 weeks because Jason Tatum returned to the basketball court with a vengeance.
Tatum will back it out on the right side. It's been his day. Tatum. He's earned a pull-up three if he wants it. He takes it. Oh! Drills it!
Holy Christmas! Cinnamon rolls! Apple pie!
He's got 42! Celtics lead 99-76.
He's trying to get his ball to Tatum.
He does. Tatum. Right corner against Embiid. Tatum for a 50-piece!
And he, you know what? He showed it. He showed you 50.
A game 7, 50 for Jason Tatum.
Tatum finishes with 51. And as you hear with Cedric Maxwell alongside Sean Grandy on Celtics Radio, yes, in fact, Tatum was flashing 50 to the crowd with his two hands. No doubt that's why he was still in the game, even after what was an extraordinary third quarter effort, not just by Tatum, but by the Celtics defense.
Somebody's going to get my tickets on Sunday.
Whoever had Cedric's tickets got a show from one of the best players in the world. Isn't that what he told us? Humbly, I'm one of the best players in the world, following what was an abysmal performance for the majority of Game 6, only to turn around and spark some life into the Celtics in winning in Philadelphia, but also to spark his own game. As I was watching, I was thinking, I wonder, now there's no way if we'll ever know this, but I wonder, had he not put 16 on the board and saved the Celtics in Game 6 in Philadelphia, would he have come out as hot as he did in Game number 7? Maybe, because he knew the team needed him and because he is one of the best players in the world. But I wonder how much that Game 6 fourth quarter spurt, in which Tatum himself outscored the Sixers, remember, in the fourth quarter, he had more points with a handful of triples than did the Sixers as a group. Come to find out, it was not only a picture of what was to come in game number 7 for Tatum, it was foreshadowing for the Sixers in the decisive quarter, which was number 3. I'm not sure in my life, and I've watched a lot of NBA, I've ever seen a professional basketball team, and this in the playoffs where it's supposed to be the best of the best, I'm not sure I've ever seen a pro basketball team manage just 10 points in one quarter of a playoff game. That's embarrassing for the Sixers. And I still can't get over what Joel Embiid said after the game. We will get to that, trust me. Here's the question. If you are called in as a consultant for the Philadelphia 76ers, what do you do? Do you keep this group together, at least the core? We know Joel Embiid is the MVP. James Harden, if I'm not mistaken, is a free agent, meaning the team would have to shell out some coin if they want to keep him. unless he's super happy, I can't imagine he takes a quote unquote hometown discount. Who even knows where his hometown is anymore or where that discount would apply? But Harden himself disappears one more time in his career. You could blame this on Doc Rivers and his track record in game sevens, which at this point is now, what, 10 consecutive losses in game sevens? But how about the fact that James Harden does a dramatic disappearing act very often when series are on the line? I will give him credit because the Celtics likely have already run the Sixers out of town, if not for James Harden. He had 48 in the opener when the Sixers stole that game in Boston without Joel Embiid. And he had 42 in game four, right? The one that went into overtime that they won in Boston. At that point, the series was tied. They also had the opportunity in game six. Now, game five was pretty lopsided, but game number six, they had the opportunity to close out in Philadelphia and couldn't do it. And what did we see? Brick after brick after brick. Joel Embiid lamenting the fact that he didn't touch the ball. Well, gosh, in the second half, when he did touch the ball on Sunday, it was brutal. So we're going to get to the Sixers' reaction. But my question for you is, if you're brought in as a consultant for the Sixers, knowing they've run into this glass ceiling in the second round yet again, despite what they did in the regular season and Joel Embiid is the MVP, it still ends in embarrassing fashion for Philadelphia. What do you do? Do you fire the coach? Do you blow up the team? That seems drastic to me because of how well they performed in the regular season. But we've already seen examples of that happening in the last month and a half. At least coaches getting the axe. Gerard Gallant with the New York Rangers getting fired. Monty Williams getting fired, even though they changed his roster, his entire lineup, about 2 months ago. We have seen coaches fall on the sword, mutual parting of ways for far less. So if you are brought in to consult with the Philadelphia 76ers, what recommendations do you make? What changes do you make? I've heard and seen through the grapevine that there are a lot of Sixers fans who are calling for it to be dismantled, this roster. That to me seems like an overreaction. At the very least, I believe the Sixers should wait at least until the emotion dies down. No doubt this is painful. It's humiliating. They embarrass themselves, and the Celtics embarrass them. And it's inexcusable if you're a Sixers fan or if you're a member of the franchise. At least show up in the second half. Make it a fight. They did not. Now, do I think they gave up? At some point in the third quarter, the energy was a little lackluster. But by that time, you're probably sticking a fork in them. They're done. So if you are advising the 76ers front office, what do you do? What recommendations do you make? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, our show Twitter is After Hours CBS. No doubt, producer Jay will put up a post so that you can respond yourself. It's certainly going to be a very high-profile and emotional topic of conversation in sports, radio, and TV circles. Not to mention NBA circles, they're doing the same exact thing. And then our phone number is 855-212-4227. We'll welcome a new guest to the show tonight, Steve Hewitt of the Boston Herald, covering the Celtics beat this season. So we're just getting started. We'll hear from the Celtics next. Or the Sixers next. We'll hear from the Celtics next. They deserve that after winning Game 7 and advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals yet again. So we've got a matchup of big bads. You may not have thought that about Miami, and honestly, the Heat deserved the wishy-washy, lukewarm assessment of their playoff chances. Why? Because they were Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde during the regular season. They've been a different team once they've gotten into the playoffs. But it is Miami again for the third time in 4 years, and it is the Celtics again. Remember how they suspended their coach late summer? Huh. Guess that didn't matter. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger? Sometimes. We're just getting started. I hope it was a productive weekend for you. I'm still sore from all the yard work. I hope it was a joyful weekend for you. Whether graduations or Mother's Day, family time. Man, I got a story about my mom. Always. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Tatum driving strong in the paint, goes to the left hand and scores off the glass. Tatum is creating offense where no offense should exist.
Yeah.
Tatum sitting on a 30-point day with a ton of time to go. Switches to the right hand on P.J. Tucker. Now back to his left. Embiid in front of him. Tatum just a pull-up three.
Oh, that man hot as doggone fish grease.
15-3 is the Boston run. That broke the tie to put the Celtics up by 12. Here's Tatum stepping to his left. Good look at a three. Got another one.
Oh, man, I don't even know what fish grease is. That might be hot as whale grease.
Kick back out. Marcus Smart, 9 of the shot clock. Smart attacks Melton, throws to the corner. Derek White for three.
Uh-oh.
Here comes the ball movement. Here comes the player movement. And the route is on in Game 7. Celtics by 25.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
A lot happening in the NBA over the weekend. We are now down to the Final Four as the Celtics defeat the Sixers soundly in their Game 7 on Sunday. We did not get a Game 7 between either the Heat and the Knicks. That game taking place on Friday, along with Warriors-Lakers. Warriors-Celtics was last year's NBA Finals. The Lakers, after a 2-10 start. Remember those Lakers after retooling their lineup and then losing LeBron at the trade deadline, they barely made the postseason. And now they are into the West Finals. The last time they were, they turned into NBA champions against the Heat, incidentally. So it's Nuggets-Lakers in the West. That final opener, conference final opener, takes place on Tuesday. It's Celtics and Sixers in the East. Amy, it's Celtics, no longer Celtics and Sixers in the East. It's Celtics and Heat in the East, and that takes place on Wednesday with the opener. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're throwing this out there because it will be a major topic of conversation in the next few days. If you're advising the 76ers front office, what recommendations do you make? Do you stick with what got you the 3 seed in the East? And also crown Joel Embiid MVP, or do you let some of these pieces go and start over, or at the very least reload? If you don't rebuild, do you reload? We've got a post up on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and then our Facebook page too, named after the show, super easy, and our phone number 855-212-4227. But Sunday belongs to the Celtics. We'll deliver the eulogy on the Sixers and the back half of this hour. But Jason Tatum, if you remember, 16 in the fourth quarter of game number 6. And no such shooting woes in game number 7. 25 points in the first half, 17 in the third quarter alone that buried the Sixers as, get this, they outscore Philadelphia 33-10 in the third quarter. So it's Jason Tatum, and it's a show.
Coming off last game, you know, obviously finished strong, but not starting off, you know, the way I wanted. And especially with our season being on the line last game, I was just excited to, we had another opportunity today as a team, and, you know, for myself just to kind of bounce back.
in my standard, the last three games, because he was playing both ends of the floor. He was active on defense. He was physical. He was rebounding. He was communicating. And I just think when you do that game after game, you'll get into a little bit of a better rhythm. And so I just saw a well-balanced game to where he was competing on the defensive end, and, you know, he was making the right play on offense, and he made shots. That's the word, is he's learned how to problem solve. So he can recognize matchups, coverages. He can anticipate the next coverage. He can see the spacing. He can put guys where they are and make the right play. And so that, to me, is the evolution of players, is can they problem solve over and over again? And, you know, he's done that.
In the words of Jaylen Brown, the energy shifted. And that game was it, you know. For one of our best players in Jason not to have a great game, and then, you know, to finish the way he did, you know, and then we still got the win. That's demoralizing for a team, because you know he's not going to go back to back with those games, and the show tonight he comes out and set a record. So that's the beauty about this team. On any given night, anybody can keep going, keep us in it, win us games, and we just kept it going.
Marcus Smart, who had an amusing quote, an entertaining quote about Jason Tatum's game. And maybe we'll see if we can grab it about getting your popcorn ready to watch a movie. It's like watching a movie. I like movies. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. There are other changes to the Celtics over the course of this series, other adjustments, other shifts that made a huge difference on the defensive side of the ball. But for obvious reasons, Jason Tatum is the headline. And in addition to his 51 points, a new Game 7 record, he has 13 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. And he understands there was a major sense of urgency here. He recognizes this could have gone differently had he not found his rhythm at the end of Game 6.
You know, to be honest, they had us on the ropes in Game 6, right? The end of that third, going into the fourth, you know, the game was back and forth. The crowd was into it. You know, they had us, and we figured out a way to win. And, you know, that was a great feeling to win that one and to come back home and, you know, have another opportunity.
So it was the 33 points in the third quarter for the Celtics offense, but it was only 10 for the Sixers. That's how it got horribly out of hand for Philadelphia. And as much as Jason Tatum was hitting everything he tried, and as you hear with Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell, other Celtics were in on the deep party, the deep shooting party. If you look at what they had from beyond the arc, better than 45% from long range. So off the bench, Malcolm Brogdon with a couple of triples. Al Horford finally hit two. That's when you knew it was going to be a bad day for the Sixers, when Al Horford finally connected on a three-point shot. Jaylen Brown was 3 for 6. And this is all in addition to Tatum hitting a half dozen triples himself. But it was also the defense. It was the defense in that third quarter, but also the intensity that we saw over these last couple games. The Celtics were on the ropes, as Jason said, facing elimination. And as much as I did not love what we saw from the Celtics in the first round series against the Atlanta Hawks, I wondered about their defense. The points were going up in record numbers, but in this series, they clamped down. Now, were they able to limit Embiid and Harden and Maxey in every single game? No. But in back-to-back games, with their season on the line, with the East Finals on the line, they hold the Sixers to under 90 points in Game 6 and in Game 7. That's massive. One of those, of course, being on the road. And so Jaylen Brown, yes, Jason Tatum, his running mate, but also clamping down on Philly.
Getting stops. I think just playing defense, you know, putting pressure on them by playing great defense. And then just Jason Tatum. JT just got it going, and get out of that man's way. He just got it rolling, and there's nothing they could do to stop. They started trying to double team him, and they just gave open looks to other guys. And when JT's playing like that, we're gonna be extremely hard to beat. But way to step up, great performance by Jason. I think everybody should go buy some of them new JTs that he just dropped. For sure. Nah, he did his thing tonight.
open-minded and connectivity. And so when you do something for a long time and you're not faced with, a desperation, adjustments are hard to make. And credit to our guys, when we were down 3-2, we made an adjustment, but it opened up their minds. It opened up the connectivity to be able to do a bunch of different stuff.
Mm. Jason Tatum certainly recognizes that he's had to grow in his game, and we'll hear more from him about how it's not just scoring, and that was certainly what kept him in game six mentally, focusing on the other tasks, his other responsibilities, even before the shots were dropping. But yeah, after a couple of tough shooting performances in this playoff run, but in this series specifically, he had a different outlook.
You know, it definitely was in my mind that, you know, I had played as bad as it could get for 42 minutes or 43 minutes, whatever. And, I say we have a saying, it's only up from here.
I like that. I might borrow that. It's only up from here. And then couple that with what Trevor Lawrence told us about his performance, in which he had, what, four interceptions? Was it three or four interceptions in the first half of their playoff game going back to wildcard weekend? And they borrowed it from some TED Talk somewhere.
Hey, no matter what happens, that's your response. Good.
You throw four interceptions in the first half? Good.
Good.
It's all mental calisthenics. Mental skills coach.
It's good.
We know that's a thing in professional sports now. A lot of it is your approach. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, we're asking you to advise the Sixers front office. How do you fix this? What do you do? Do you stand pat? They just keep running into tougher teams? Or do you make some tough decisions, some pruning? Straight ahead, you will hear the post-game reaction from Joel Embiid that's going viral. James Harden asked about his relationship with Doc Rivers, and Rivers himself addressing his future as the coach of the Sixers. Again, you can find us on Twitter or Facebook. Look forward to hearing from you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Tatum sprints to the left side, receives the ball, drives on Melton into the lane, left-hand layup up and good. Sixers can't stop him. 46 points for Tatum. He's just driving right by. Good coverage, I guess, by Melton, but in the end, Tatum with a left-hand layup. Tatum with it on the move, 8 to shoot, rising on a beat for 3, and that's good. Tatum, 6 field goals. All 6 from beyond the arc, 51 points for Tatum.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It was interesting to hear the Sixers' reaction to Jason Tatum after Game 6. But wowzers, after Game 7, in which he dominated, only 3 Celtics in double figures in Game 7. One in which they ran the Sixers out of town. And yet still only 3 of their teammates end up in double figures. Jason Tatum with the 51. Tom McGinnis on Sixers radio, as Philadelphia's season comes to an end, what would you do if you're making the choices about how to position or reposition the Sixers so that this doesn't keep happening? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. Now, James Harden has only been there for a year and a half, right? So he considers it home now, I suppose. But it's not like he came in with Joel Embiid. In fact, he and Ben Simmons were swapped for one another. There have been a bunch of changes. But this was a full season of James Harden in Philadelphia. So now he is equipped to answer the question of whether or not there should be wholesale changes.
I feel like we had a pretty solid team. We're off, obviously, you always look to get better, you know what I mean, whether it's the personnel you have now or adding pieces, so we'll see how that goes. I mean, we're only 1 year in, you know, we played against a team who's been together for quite a few years now, You know, I mean, they were in the finals last year, so they kind of know what it takes to get back there. And this is only year one for us, you know, full year. It was great. It's great.
I think this team is headed right. I thought we took another, like, mental step to this season. And then tonight, I thought we took that step backwards, but that's okay. That happens, too. You make sure your players, you know, as a coach, you take the coaching role and you take the father role as well. And so after a game like this, my job is to make sure every player is in the right place. That's what I have to do.
Doc Rivers, as the head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers, he's still the head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers, at least right now, and he does intend to return next season. But there are potential opportunities for the Sixers to make a break here. Third year in a row in which this team bows out in the second round, so the Eastern Conference semifinals. And Doc, who got hired after the NBA bubble, right? So he was hired in the winter of 2020. Three straight years in which the Sixers have improved their record and improved their standing and improved their physical and mental toughness. Not to mention, they now have the residing NBA MVP. But this certainly tends to mar whatever regular season success they can look back to on Doc's resume. Because again, it's the third straight exit at the same exact juncture. They lost in seven games to the Atlanta Hawks in 21. The Hawks, also an upstart team. And now six games to the Miami Heat, who were the lowest seed in the East. The Heat have moved on again, while the Heat last year were the ones eliminating the Sixers, right? So it's three different teams. We're not talking about the same Celtics team, or think about the Warriors, right? And the way they've dominated the West, or did dominate the West, excuse me, going back to that run of five straight NBA finals. How many times they blocked the Rockets or blocked this team or blocked that team, but it was because of their extended success. In this particular scenario, you're talking about three different teams that the Sixers have run into in the second round. The Hawks were an upstart. The Heat, they've got one superstar. Now, granted, they are also extremely tough, physical and tough. Last year, maybe you could say the Sixers weren't physically able to go toe-to-toe with them. Except Miami, Boston, still standing. Sixers, once again, coming up short of that level. You can paint the picture however you want it, but the results, the end result, is still the same. Again, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Now, James Harden once again has a disappearing act in game number seven, or in a closeout game, should I say. He goes 3 of 11 in this game, 3 of 11 overall. He goes 1 for 5 from beyond the arc. And I know he had the 42 and the 42 and the 48 in the first four games. He had two amazing performances and also had game winners. In these last two games, though, in which the Sixers could have closed out the Celtics, he goes 1 for 11 from beyond the arc. And overall, 7 for 27 from the field. He finishes with 22 points in the last two games. Doesn't get to the free throw line a ton because he's not being as aggressive. He's taking more threes. Joel Embiid, while he, again, won the MVP, had some big-time performances to this point. He was upset about the fact that he didn't get the ball in the second half of the fourth quarter of their final game in Philly, right? So game number six, he felt like he didn't touch the ball enough, that he had to touch the ball more. Great, okay. But then in this game, despite 38 minutes, he goes 5 of 18 from the field. Over 4 from beyond the arc. Don't even ask me what he was looking at on those four shots from deep. They were awkward and they were awful. And they were last ditch attempts in some cases because the team is standing around watching each other on offense. And he has no choice but to chuck the ball up in the air. Rob Williams, Al Horford specifically playing great defense on Embiid. And yet somehow after the game, he points to the duo of he and Harden. Help us. Oh, please help us.
You can't win alone. I can't win alone. Me and James, we just can't win alone. You know, that's why basketball is played 5-on-5. So, you know, we just need everybody to just, you know, try to keep finding ways to get better. And, you know, we'll be fine.
Are you kidding me? First of all, you're the MVP. Your teammates have touted you for MVP all season long. Your teammates have gone to bat for you. Your teammates have trotted your name out there for MVP at every opportunity. And yet you kick and punch and shove them under an oncoming bus after a game 7 in which you shot horribly from the field. Not just that, but he and James Harden together had, are you ready? 9 turnovers. 9. The team as a whole had 12. Guess who had 75% of them? He and Harden. And yet he has the gall to say, James and I can't do this by ourselves. What game were you watching on Sunday?
You can't win alone.
Tyrese Maxey had multiple 30-point games in this series, and they're not still alive for a Game 7 if not for Tyrese Maxey. P.J. Tucker had 11 points in the first quarter of this game alone. Tobias Harris, he had more points than you did on Sunday. Oh, and he only had 1 turnover. Are you kidding me? What is wrong with you? You're supposed to be a team leader, and that's the best you can come up with? Is, oh, James and I need more help. Stop it. He owes his teammates an apology, and I hope they hold his feet to the fire. Yeah, I get you're the MVP, but how about show some leadership? If you're all in it together, then be in it together. Ew. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Your points are worth more than you think. This first-class flight to Tokyo, you can book it in your credit card portal for 1.4 million points. Yowzers. With PointMe, you could redeem just 120,000 points for that same flight. Now that's more like it. PointMe gets you 6 to 12 times the value for your points. Your credit card points are worth more than you think. PointMe. Better flights. Fewer points.
Get started today at point.me. That's point.me.
Attention listeners.
I'm pleased to announce that Radio Rental is returning for another installment of Terrifying Tales. If you happen to be new here, I'm Terry Carnation, current proprietor of the Radio Rental Video Store, where I possess a collection of the scariest true stories you've ever heard, all told by real people. Mark your calendars for... Oh, apparently it's available right now. I'm a little late with this promo.
Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.